Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up later on the programme, we'll be talking junior soccer here in the Northwest. A couple of big finals on the way, plus also up for discussion once again, calendar year football. I'll be joined by Secretary of the Donegal League, Nigel Ferry, and also from the National League, Dermot O'Brien will also be joining us on the programme. But as always, on a Thursday, we're going to kick The Score off by talking League of Ireland football. Games, of course, coming this weekend once again for Derry City and Finn Harps. Harps on Saturday night are in Longford Town. 7:30 kickoff there. We'll have updates from that game with Denise O'Flaherty here in Highland as from the kickoff time for that tie. But before that, Derry City are looking to continue their fine form. They're taking on Drogheda United on Friday evening. Derry on the road. And as always, there's a couple of big ties to come this weekend as well in the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. And to look at those matches now, I'm delighted to welcome back to The Score programme soccer writer with the Independent.ie and The Herald. That's Aidan Fitzmaurice. Aidan, welcome back to Highland. How are you doing?
Always a pleasure to be on, Shane. Thanks for having me.
Aidan, what have you made of the Premier Division season so far? Because it's been ebbing and flowing and it's been a really, really tight competition. And I suppose it's followed on from last year, but it's making the League of Ireland a very, very interesting watching prospect at the moment, is it?
Yeah, I mean, you just think when you look how boring the Premier League is, Oisín, you know, won by Liverpool a couple of weeks to go. Same in Scotland. A lot of leagues are just a race. You might have maybe three teams in it and everyone else isn't even involved. League of Ireland is an outlier. That the example would be, I think, Bank Holiday Monday at one stage. I think Galway were, when they were leading against Bohemians, I think they were top. And by the end of the day, I think they were down to seventh. So it is just that really tight league. There's a lot of reasons for that. I think there is just a general evenness of talent. I think, you know, that it's kind of spread out fairly around the league. You don't have one team who just have hoovered up all the players. There's a fairly even spread. And I think the other thing is there's no weak team. Often the league have had a UCD or a Dundalk a couple of years ago, Dundalk last year, who are struggling and you kind of know they're going down. That isn't the case this year. So even Sligo, who are bottom, have the potential to pull something off. So it's unpredictable. It's interesting and it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's fascinating because Galway United, who were up in the top positions not so long ago, find themselves third from bottom and are only 6 points off top the Shamrock Rovers. And it says that it is a fascinating league and Derry City are very much playing their part in it. And their manager, Tiernan Lynch, has been calling for consistency over the last number of weeks. And that's something that Derry have found and have found big performances as well and sharing top spot with Shamrock Rovers at the moment.
Yeah, consistency. It's funny, even that though has a little question mark. They won three in a row. The game they lost was Waterford when Waterford were in the horrors. I really thought I had that down as an absolute banker of a Derry win. So it is unpredictable. But Derry, I'm kind of, I suppose, the two teams who've turned it around from the start, Oisín, are Derry and Bohemians. I saw a lot of them in the early weeks. I saw Derry the first week away to Shelburne. To be honest, I thought they were a mess. I thought they'd no shape, they'd no pace. They looked like, I didn't think they were going to get relegated, but they looked like a team who were bottom four. I didn't see any hope for them, and it has kind of come together the last few weeks. I suppose getting players fit has helped. You know, Robbie Benson, you know, has come in. He doesn't start every week, but he's come off the bench. When you have someone like Robbie Benson to come on for the last half hour, that's an option that not a lot of managers have, someone of that quality. They've done all this without Pat Hooban, who's been missing for the last few weeks, without Diallo. But I think we sometimes forget as well, Oisín, that it does take players time to settle in, that even though the players Derry signed were all experienced, like Sir Ferguson and Liam Boyce, White, Winchester, all experienced, most of them are new to the league, and it doesn't matter what your background is, it does take time to settle into the league. Very few players come in and hit the ground running straight away. It just takes time to adjust to everything, to the refereeing, to the standards, the pitches, everything else. So I think particularly Liam Boyce in the last few weeks and Carl Winchester really have blossomed. They looked off the pace in the first 2-3 weeks of the season. They're both at it now, and they've showed why Tiernan Lynch signed them.
Yeah, and listen, Derry going to Drogheda. And Drogheda this season is not an easy place to go to. They have an away trip on Friday night. What can Derry get out of that?
The Drogheda have, again, have had a little bit of a dip the last few weeks. I know they did beat Cork, but the worry you'd have for Drogheda is they're conceding an awful lot of goals. Three last week against Shamrock Rovers, they were very open. Even beating Cork, they were behind, conceded two against Sligo. That'd be a slight concern for me if I was a Drogheda fan, that, you know, shipping up goals and cheaply, which they weren't doing earlier on. They did a lot of clean sheets from Luke Dennison. I think the first 6-7 weeks, he probably was top of the charts in terms of clean sheets. That's kind of dried up. So Drogheda, they were always going to have that, Oisín. They're going to be, you know, because it has had such a strong start and unexpected, and people feeling they'd be found out, they'd be exposed in terms of what they really were, that they really were a mid-table or bottom half team in terms of what they were seeing. Drogheda loved all that stuff. They loved being written off. They loved people saying that they couldn't last. They thrived on it. They just have struggled the last few weeks, and I think that's, again, more an example of settling down. I think it's just a trend, Oisín. There's been very few clean sheets. That teams like Shelburne last year were a lot of 1-0 wins. You know, if you got a goal against Shelburne last year, you really had to work hard for it. Shelburne are just chipping up goals very, very easily this year. So I've asked, you know, managers, players, what is that about? Is it a quality of defending? Is it better attackers? What is it? Nobody can really figure out. Again, it's great for the neutral. We're all getting goals every week. There's been hardly any nil-all draws. We're enjoying it. But some of the defending, you know, particularly I'm just thinking of Shamrock Rovers at home to Bohemians and the big game in Tala a couple of weeks ago, wide open at the back, the kind of goals that if you conceded them, you know, in training, if a goal like that was conceded in a training move, the manager would stop everything and say, hang on, lads, how do we get here? Very, very wide open. So, but I suppose that's a purist point of view. From a neutralist point of view, I'd love to see the goals keep coming in.
Yeah. You mentioned Bowes earlier. They take on Shelburne, the defending champions, on Friday night. How big a blow would it be to Damien Duff if Bowes were to come away there with the points in that one?
I think the big game for Shelburne was last week, you know, when they came from behind to beat St Pat's. There was a lot of question marks about Shelburne in terms of this whole thing about second season syndrome and hunger and all the stuff that Damien Duff had spoken about. He said he didn't want to even use the word defending a title. He wanted the medals put away because he's seen that what happens for a player. He kept using this phrase, players smelling themselves, they think. And people like Damien Duff think an awful lot of football is mental more than physical, that if you walk into a game, and Duff has referenced that numerous times, Oisín, that, you know, when they haven't had a good result, he said he smelt it on the bus, in the dressing room, the players talk, because they're champions, they can just rock up to wherever and win the game. So I suppose that resilience, the big win was not just beating St Pat's, but coming from behind to win, and Shelburne are actually doing the best of all. I think because we didn't really expect Derry to be in the title, the top three last year was you know, top three, top four of generally being in all Dublin teams. So if you win your Dublin derbies, you have a chance of doing it. Shelburne have done pretty well in the derbies at the moment. St Pat's haven't. So I think Shells will take from that the morale from beating, not just beating the rivals, you know, but beating a Dublin rival, beating a rival for the title and coming from behind, and that resilience that maybe they hadn't shown. Again, still conceding far too easily, and I think that at Shells, I'm just looking there, that, you know, they haven't had a clean sheet in the last six games, which isn't like Shelburne.
Cork and Waterford are just, what, two of three sides who are on minus goal difference at this stage of the season, and they've got tough games at the weekend. Cork coming to Dublin to play St Pat's, and Waterford hosting Shamrock Rovers. I take it that is two games that you would expect, I suppose, Pats and Rovers to come through, and is it, Aidan?
Normally, Oisín, yeah, but excuse me, you also have the you know, the famous thing, the new manager bounce, which, you know, we were doing a thing with Stephen Kenny yesterday and asked him about his experience as a manager. What is your record in that, in terms of, on paper, you're playing against a team who've sacked the manager, lost their manager, they're struggling, they're low on confidence, they're leaking goals. On paper, you should win it. And that mythical thing of the new manager bounce, Cork is still up in the air. It looks like Red Bulger will be in charge for the weekend. There's a few names in the frame. I think people are getting lost to run themselves when they saw Roy Keane going to the last couple of Cork City matches, and I don't think we're going to see Roy Keane in charge of Cork City, even though Roy Keane up against Damien Duff in a Cork Shelburne game will be absolute box office. But I think Cork, I'd worry a little bit. They do need a reset. They do need to find players in the summer, because I think what they have at the moment isn't going to be good enough. So I would expect Cork, but just that something, if they got somebody in, if Greg Bulger is in charge and he gives that team talk, and again, Pats are a bit brittle at the moment, so I would expect St Pat's to win, yes, but just that little bit of extra and a rousing speech from whoever's in charge of Cork, because Cork will be happy to come, and Cork will come to Dublin for a point, Oisín. They'll be absolutely delighted to get a point from that game. So can St Pat's break them down? That's going to be their challenge.
Yeah, there is of course a derby. You don't like losing derby matches, but Galway United go into their game against Sligo Rovers off the bounce of three defeats. Rovers have just two wins all season. This one's been teed up as a really, really tight one, with both sides looking to try and find a bit of form.
Yeah, and different imperatives for both of them. I mean, Sligo, really, they can't afford to. The cut-off point for the international break in June is a big kind of turning point in the season. That's when clubs, obviously, physically, they take a break, but also they take stock. Some players will lose players. Sligo have a couple of players on loan whose loan deals are up in June, so that could be a pivotal month. So you want to be going into that break with a few more points in the bank that Sligo don't really have at the moment. You know, Sligo, I did like the fact that even when they were struggling, they were losing, they were still scoring goals. You know, Elding has done pretty well for them. Lomboto, who missed a lot of football through injury, has come in for the last while and done well. Galway are just really on that kind of spiral. They were so tight early on. Looking at the first couple of games, I mean, they had a run there. Drogheda, Shells, Derry, Waterford, they were all either 1-1s or 1-0 win. They weren't scoring many, but the goals have kind of dried up in the last while. Moses Dyer, they've only scored one the last three, so I'd worry a little bit about Galway and that kind of settling off. That again, there was a little bit of panic earlier, not panic is the wrong word, but excitement earlier on with Galway fans when they were top or top three for a good few weeks. People thought, can they do it? Can they push on for Europe? There was talk of that last season and they just tailed away. And I think a lot of them will see the managers are just looking now really to that break. May is very busy. You have an extra round of games on Monday because the four clubs are in Europe playing Monday, which is it's good for the calendar in terms of, you know, postponing games later on. But for those four teams chasing Europe, May is always a tricky month, and getting through May intact without picking up too many injuries. Pats have been ready to ask Chris Forrester to get injured last week. He's going to be out till the league resumes. So I suppose for the top teams, it's a matter of that. It's getting those wins to try and stay in touch. Sorry, for the lesser teams, just staying in touch, because you can't be cut adrift at the mid-season break, which is a little bit of fear about Sligo, just because they're losing so many games at the moment.
Yeah, let's move to the first division. Dundalk were walking away with that, I suppose, division, particularly in the early part of the season. But the results haven't gone their way. Now they're still the only unbeaten team in the two top flight divisions of the League of Ireland. They have yet to be beaten. However, they have drawn a lot of their games, and they only lead Cove Ramblers by 3 points. And they go to Cork to play Cove on Friday night. Cove, certainly one of the form teams in the first division, and it's making this now really, really interesting. And Cove will have a bit of a spring in their step to welcome Dundalk down to their venue, of course, on Friday evening.
They will, you know. I think the fear was that it'd be over, that Dundalk had started so strong, Dundalk had the resources and everything else, that there really was a fear that the league would be over by June. Dundalk have won, and then everyone else is just playing for the playoffs, which makes it for a very dull league because there's no relegation. I mean, a couple of surprises. Wexford had a pretty good start under Stephen Elliott, but they've kind of tailed off the last few weeks. They're really struggling at the moment. Cove, I suppose the big problem for Cove really, Oisín, is off the field. That a lot of stuff going on in the background. There was a takeover last year. It looks like that's hit the rocks now. They invested a lot in bringing in Mick McDermott, a manager, and bringing in players probably based on the injection of cash from the owners. It looks like that relationship has hit the rocks. So that could be Cove's problems, could be that they have a good team. But if there are financial issues there and they have to scale back, I have to cut back, that could cut things back. Bray were on a great run there a couple of weeks ago. I think they won 6 in a row. I think it was a club record. Going to hit the skids a little bit. So I think Dundalk probably just need Dundalk at this stage. Now it's probably about know-how. That's probably, you know, they had a little bit too easy earlier on. They got the wins. I think people, you know, had to show probably Dundalk too much respect in the first few weeks of the season. And now it's kind of people are realizing, hang on, these are there for the taking. So the likes of Cove will see that as a chance to get something against Dundalk and prove that Cove are decent and are capable of going up.
Yeah. The other games on Friday night, Treaty United play UCD, Kerry to go on Wexford, Bray Wanderers play Athlone Town, and then on Friday, Fun Harps are going to Bishopsgate to take on Longford Town. We'll have updates with Denise O'Flaherty from this game here in Highland on Saturday evening. And as they go into the matches this weekend, the bottom four sides, 7th to 10th, are all sitting joint on 13 points, with Harps ahead in goal difference on -2, Kerry -7, Athlone -10, Longford on -13. There could be changes to those positions as the weekend pans out. But what's your take on Fun Harps this season? Listen, Aidan, a change of manager, they had a good run of games, but over the last number of weeks, things have sort of gone back to the way it was at the start of the season. What's your take on how Harps have done in the opening 13 games so far?
Rough season, probably tested the patience of supporters a little bit. I mean, tough start, you know, three defeats at the start, then turned around to beat Bray all of a sudden, and the change of manager when Kevin came in. I think it was the right department to stick with Kevin McHugh, to keep it in-house, somebody who understood the club, the league. I don't think the season was ever about winning the title for Finn Harps. I think it was about, you know, just competing, and could be there in the playoffs, ideally maybe build for next year, try and be in a stronger position, because a lot of very good young players have come through that academy through Kevin at Finn Harps. But it's just very testing in the last few weeks, you know, through three defeats in a row and just not really scoring. I suppose one of the problems is there isn't really an out-and-out recognised goal scorer. Often that's how you win the first division. You have a goal scorer who's going to get you, you know, 15, 20, 20 goals a season. Harps don't really have that at the moment. I don't know who the top scorer is. Probably Gavin McGuinness, maybe. Gavin Hodgins really hasn't probably brought the form that probably would have expected from Shelburne. Gavin's probably been in and out. I haven't seen a lot of Harps, but just by in terms of his goals, what Gavin Hodgins can do and what he's done for Finn Harps, that hasn't really matched up yet. So I think it is probably going to be require patience from Harps supporters to stick with the project, stick with Kevin, and accept that this year was never about winning the league. This league was always going to be won by Dundalk. It's just, can you be in the playoffs and can you have a good show in this season, and then have a good structure for keep the young players and be in better position for next season.
And just finally, Aidan, before you leave us this evening here on the Score programme, we're going to be talking to Nigel Ferry and Dermot O'Brien coming up from the Donegal and any show in junior leagues. Now, obviously the FEA have made this decision and they're looking to push it through that everybody becomes under the calendar year umbrella, but it has come with a lot of disgruntlement here from the Northwest that it's not going to work between referees and pitches and other things in the Northwest, and they've been very vocal on it. You obviously are based in Dublin. What's the feel around Dublin about bringing everything under the umbrella of the calendar year?
It's mixed as well, actually, because it's certainly the DDSL, which is the biggest league of its type in Europe in terms of participation numbers and everything else. They're against it on the basis for a number of reasons. I think part of that is just it's there's a mistrust of the FAI, and there are some people at that level who think, well, if the FAI think it's a good idea, it must be a bad idea. So I don't get a lot of the angst that you get from the DDSL. You know, I've heard all these things. People say, well, people aren't around in the summer. I heard this comment from somebody saying before, well, everybody goes away for July and August. Now, not many people in my circle can afford to take 2 months off and go off on holidays for 2 months. So I think that's a little bit. The problem is a lot of anecdotal stuff or cliches get thrown around us, and they form policy. But I don't really get the level of anger from the DDSL. I understand that in the provinces, if you can call it that, particularly in the Northwest, particularly in Sligo, where people would feel that there's a battle between. For everything in the summer, there's a battle for media coverage, for referees, for participation, even for parents simply to drive kids around to underage games, that it's so busy in GA for boys and girls that it's very, very hard to find the time to keep that going. But I just think it's just a necessity to have a calendar. And I think maybe, it's been compared to other leagues that were an outlier in Europe that we don't have this common league. It should be easier to do. But I think a lot of this is just caught up in legacy stuff with the FAI and the fact that people don't trust. It was Mark Canham who was driving this. Mark Canham was a very divisive very divisive personality. So I think maybe if it had been Brian Kerr or Kevin McHugh or somebody like that who was bringing this in, I think people may be more willing to at least listen. But I think people in those two cohorts, the DDSL, the strong Dublin Schoolboy Boys and Girls League in Dublin, and in certain areas, I know in Clare and Limerick and as I said, you mentioned Donegal, Sligo, certain areas where people are reticent. They just think they need to get over that reticence and find out what the problem is and work it out. But a single calendar should be the easiest thing in the world to do, but it just proves that nothing's simple in Irish football.
That's it. Listen, Aidan, many thanks for joining us tonight in The Score. We appreciate you taking time out to have a word with us, and enjoy the continued good weather. Thanks, Aidan.
Thanks, Oisín.
And we'll be teasing out more on the calendar year football coming up real soon here in Highland. I'll be speaking to Nigel Ferry of the Donegal League and Dermot O'Brien of the Inishowen League. And that's on the way after this commercial break.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme, and for the next while on the show we're going to focus in on junior football, some big games this weekend in both Donegal and Inishowen, and of course there is that continued, I suppose, discussion around the topic of calendar year of football and how bad an idea it is, particularly for the counties here in the northwest. First of all, we're going to the Donegal Junior League. Secretary Nigel Ferry now joins us on the programme. Nigel, thanks for jumping on board this evening.
Yeah, you're welcome, Oisin.
Just a few things to talk about today, Nigel. We'll start maybe first of all, FAI Senior Cup. Fannet United on Sunday on the road. They're heading to play Leicester in the capital. It's a big day for Fannet, and they'll be hoping that they can possibly do themselves justice and have a big performance in the road in the cup. It's a massive occasion for them.
Yeah, hopefully so. You know, and on behalf of the league, I'd like to wish Fannet all the best on Sunday. There's no better team to be going out of the county representing us than Fannet United. They have a fantastic history in all national competitions, and they've pulled off major shocks in senior FAI senior cups in the past. And this team, Arthur has assembled, is capable of something similar this weekend, you know. So I would fancy their chances of creating a bit of an upset up there. I know it's hard to win away from home, but Fannet have done it time and time and again, and hopefully they do it again on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully they can. Before that, there's a big game taking place on Saturday here in Donegal, Nigel. It's the Voodoo Cup final, and this, of course, is the showpiece competition for a number of clubs, and they targeted at the start of the year. But we've got Kildrum Tigers, who finished second in Division 1, up against Erin Wanderers, who were second in the Saturday Division 2. So, listen, two teams that have had fine seasons. You would probably suggest Kildrum are favourites, given that they play a league above them. But listen, the Erin boys will be coming gunning for this one, will they?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, these are two of the big hitters, two of the big teams in the Saturday division. With, I know Kildrum finished second in the Premier Division, and they might start as slight favourites, but you got to bear in mind as well, Erin Wanderers are just back with us this last 2 years, and they're quickly making their way through right to our Premier, the back-to-back promotions. And both years they were pipped at the post by a very, very strong Letterkenny Rovers reserve team. So Erin Wanderers will definitely put it up to Kildrum, and don't be surprised, if there's a shock in the cards there, because this game could go either way. And just the fact that Kildrum are playing maybe at a step higher gives them a slight nudge, but I would not be surprised at all to see Erin, causing an upset in that one.
Yeah, it is, of course, a double weekend of cup finals. We've got the Brian McCormick Cup decider to come as well on Sunday at Ballyar. Letterkenny Rovers against Castlefin Celtic. No doubt that Letterkenny Rovers are the team this year in the county. They went undefeated, the Invincibles, if you want to call them, in the league. Castlefin overcame a dogged Donegal Town side last weekend to make the decider. Letterkenny will be raging hot favourites. But listen, is there anything that Castlefin can do here that can cause what would be a big upset as the season comes to a close, Nigel?
Yeah. To be honest, it's very hard to see it, Oisin. I mean, many other teams have tried to get the better Letterkenny Rovers this season, and they haven't succeeded in it. The only thing I would say about Castlefin, they were dead and buried at half-time there, even up to near the last 15, 20 minutes of the semi-final against Donegal Town. But from somewhere they got, a little bit of inspiration, and they scored 3 late goals to pick that game. And any team that's got a forward like Cody Lee Brogan up front is always going to be a goal threat. And if they could nick the first one, I feel that if they have any chance at all, they really do need to, nick the first goal and then see how they can cope trying to defend against, which is a very, very, very strong Letterkenny Rovers side. Yeah. So it's hard to see against Letterkenny Rovers, to be honest, in that one.
Yeah, Letterkenny, as we said, have won a cup competition, they've won the league, and now they're looking to end of the season with the Brian McCormick Cup. But when you look at Letterkenny and you see the exploits of Fannet at the moment, and you look at the other sides, Kildrum, Bunnaggy United, just to name a few, that are all involved in the Premier Division, there's a real strength in the competition in the top flight of the Donegal League. There has been this season, and that's going to continue next season as well, Nigel.
Yeah, I think so. We're probably, since the Ulster Senior League stopped, we've got the bulk of the teams back again, and they are strong teams. And I mean, the Letterkenny Rovers have set the standard there this year. Before that, prior to that, Fannet United had set the standards for 2 or 3 years. So the bar has been changed every year, and see, Bunnaggy have a change of management for next year as well, and they'll be looking to, they ran Letterkenny Rovers close until the last couple of weeks last year, so they'll be looking to go one better as well. But you've good teams all over the place in that Premier Division. I mean, KJ Rovers and Kildrums, and they're all hard to beat. at home and down in those places, and you'll have other teams coming up, Glenays and the other teams then, and then the Lagan Harps, and those ones will be looking to impose themselves in the Premier as well. It's hard because the standard's so high there, but there'll be a good battle next year, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, of course there will. Listen, the Ulster FA are getting themselves together, and things seem to be going pointing in the right direction. They held an AGM this week, so they did, Nigel, and it was well attended. And I suppose the new committee, the new board, has been formed now to take the Ulster FA forward, which is a huge plus, because there was a lot of difficulties over the last number of years within the Ulster FA. But they're going the right direction again, Nigel, and it's all positive. And obviously it has to be, because the likes of the Donegal Junior League and obviously Inishowen have to work closely with the Ulster FA as well.
Yeah, we do, and it's good to see it back up and running effectively again. It was effective since COVID, and even before COVID now, there hasn't been AGMs. And really, in a county this side, at size and with so many teams in football playing in different divisions, it was really, you know, unforgivable that the Ulster FA wasn't functioning properly, you know. So it's good to see people stepping up to the mark and going about and making sure and get it done. And a new committee there with some fresh faces as well is always positive. It's always a good sign. And I'd like to wish them well, every single one of them that's taken on the responsibility, because it's easy for people to sit back and, you know, be negative all the time about it. But these people have given up their own time and put their hands up and are prepared to go forward and represent clubs and leagues in the Ulster FA. So it's great to see, and I wish them well next year.
Would the likes of the Donegal Junior League lean heavily on the Ulster FA, Nigel, when it comes to, I suppose, important decisions? And one of those decisions we're going to talk about in just a moment. But is there a reliance there on the Ulster FA when it comes to the table in Dublin with the FAA?
Oh, there is, of course. You know, it's probably the only voice we have, the representatives from the Ulster FA. They're the only voice we have in Dublin. And it's really, it's unfortunately, it's a very, very small number of votes and number of voices that we have up there. So to have one or two of these back up again, it's always important to be able to go to somebody to say, to carry our viewpoint forward. And to be fair to some of them, they, Steve Call and Jim McConnell and those boys, they really have been helping us and, you know, pushing our case in the voices of power in Dublin at the FAI. But I don't know, sometimes those people in the FAI, they don't really listen. They seem to have their mind made up themselves beforehand. But these fellas will definitely keep knocking at the door and keep rattling the cage and fighting our corner in Dublin. I've no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, obviously the FAI haven't been listening to the Donegal Junior League, the Ulster FA, or indeed Inishowen in relation to the calendar year and moving the football, something that you have and the committee and Donegal Junior League have been very vocal about, that this will not work in Donegal. Is there any sort of movement on this at all, or has the FAA still been, I suppose, can we call it bullish on the situation, Nigel?
100%. I think they have been really, really bullish about it. I mean, not alone are they trying to force it upon clubs, but they're now withholding funding from clubs as well, and they're threatening clubs if they don't follow orders or follow suit in their club mark awards, that they won't be eligible for funding in the future as well. And it's basically just a heavy-handed tactic to try and ensure that this football pathways is adopted by clubs. And I'd just like to make one thing clear, Oisin. Most people that I've spoken to, all the leagues in Donegal, it's not just Donegal, you've Kerry, you've Galway League, you've Laois, you've all the Leinster leagues, you have about 70% of the league across the country here totally against it. And it's only the one aspect. It's just the aligned calendar. And all people are looking for is the right to choose. Yeah. Right to choose which one suits them best in their own local areas. But the FAI don't seem to be... they said they were doing consultation with us, but to be honest, it wasn't a consultation. It was a fait accompli before they started at all, and tick the box exercise going around the country talking to people, because they obviously didn't listen to the junior clubs and amateur football clubs' views on the, not the importance of it, but we were trying to highlight the dangers and the difficulties that leagues would have if this is enforced on them.
Yeah, we obviously heard from Aidan Fitzmaurice there a short time ago, and likewise the DSL feel very, very much the same. Why are they not taking into consideration that there is so many who are against this? Why is this so golden to them that they're looking to put it forward, Nigel?
I can't really answer that question, but somebody from the FAI would need to answer that one. But the only thing that I can say, Oisin, is I mean, we're in existence over 50 years now, 52, 53 years, and we've always been playing from August, September through till April, May every year. Indeed, everybody, most of the clubs, even in UEFA, the 55 countries in UEFA, 80% of them play that same winter season. In Ireland, 70% of the leagues play that same winter season. Yet, the FAI seem to want to move 70% into the other one. Now, even the 30% that are not playing calendar football, they get the choice to move to that, and it's fine, and it's working well in Mayo, and it's working well in the League of Ireland, and it's working well in Waterford, who started it recently as well. And that's all good and fine. Even in our own county here, our schoolboys' leagues and our women's leagues, ladies' leagues and all them, they're playing during the summer, and it's working well. But our difficulty up here is that's fine when the adults can play winter football, but if you lump everybody on the top of each other from February until October, whatever, because that's effectively what your aligned calendar season is going to be, it means people are going to suffer. And the adult teams will survive. Some of them mightn't. Some of them will have a clash with the GA and so on. But I would fear for the schoolboys' leagues and the women's leagues that they mightn't get access to the facilities, because the facilities are, lack of pitches here in Donegal is a massive problem. Out of the 40 clubs in the Donegal League, two-thirds, 66% of them, only have one pitch. And you cannot support the number of teams that each of those clubs have in that short window.
Yeah.
So it makes zero sense to me. And again, I haven't heard any valid reason as to why it's, you know, why it should be implemented.
Yeah. Just finally, are you resigned to the fact that this is going to happen now, Nigel?
Oh, definitely not. No. And there's an organisation has been kind of sprung up around the country, sorry, about this. They're called the Grassroots Amateur Football of Ireland, and they're basically contesting the FAI in this one issue. We're part of that. A lot of our clubs are part of that as well. They have over 700 clubs registered with them now at the minute, and they're just contesting, and they're wanting meetings with the FAI to thrash out this one issue and one issue only. And our fear is that participation levels are going to drop in the game of football across the country, unless this decision is, you know, unless leagues are allowed to go back to choosing themselves what best works in their own area. And that's all leagues are looking for. It's a right to choose as to what, you know, when suits us, when we can work with the other leagues in our county to provide the proper structure for football. And adult football during the summer up here, going by our clubs, I'm only representing, I'm only standing up for the clubs here that express these views to me. They're saying that they will have difficulty between holidays, clash with GAA, lack of pitches, lack of volunteers. All these have been forwarded onto the FAI, but they seem to have turned a blind eye or a blind ear to it.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Nigel, I know you've taken time out to speak to us this evening, and we appreciate you taking the call and joining us on the programme. I'm sure we'll be teasing this out a bit more in the near future. Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks, Oisin. Talk to you.
So we're going to stay on the topic of calendar football and the impacts it's going to have on the North West. Let's go to Innie Shawn, and Dermot O'Brien now joins us on the programme. A very good evening, Dermot.
Thanks, Oisin.
And listen, we heard from Nigel Ferry there, and I asked him the question, was he resigned to the fact that this is going to happen? And he has lots of confidence in this grassroots association. Obviously, the Innishowen League and other leagues within the peninsula and the county are also involved in the association, which has come together to fight this cause. Are you confident that being part of this, Dermot, that it can aid, it can help your cause here and help the way that yous want to have a choice in the situation?
Well, I think it can definitely help the situation. Now, whether we'll be confident or not remains to be seen, because, you know, in my book, the FAI have sort of buried their heads in the sand over this issue over the last 4 or 5 months. The number of leagues and clubs that are against this calendar season alignment across the country, all across the country, is huge. But yet, despite making numerous representations to them and having numerous meetings, our fears and points that we raised seem to have gone totally ignored, and they seem to be pressing ahead with the implementation of it.
Why is that? Why are they being so heavy-handed with this? Why are you guys not being listened to?
Well, it's very hard to understand, Oisin, because, you know, this is not new. This was mooted back in 2018. John Delaney initiated a discussion all around the country to move to calendar season soccer. And the current grassroots manager, Jerry McDermott, was the man that coordinated those meetings. I think it was one held in each province. And, you know, they were left in no uncertain terms at that time in 2018 that, you know, the leagues were totally against it for, and the reasons really haven't changed in the last 7 or 8 years. And, you know, at that time, the feedback went back. And thankfully, at that time, the board and whoever was involved in it listened to the grassroots. To answer your question, why they're not listening this time, it's just hard to fathom. Yep. When Mark Canham came in, you know, he had the Pathways Plan. I think it's important to say at the outset that, you know, there's many, many points in the Pathways Plan that all leagues across the country would agree with. But, you know, for the junior leagues, this is a huge sticking point.
Yep. News obviously went for political assistance in this as well. You spoke to the TDs and the political representatives and parties here in the Northwest, and obviously speaking with them, that has fallen on deaf ears from their point of view as well, because I'm sure they brought it forward as well, so they did.
Yeah, it has been brought forward, and there's some excellent points made at that meeting that we held in Letterkenny, which a number of TDs and county councillors attended. Following on from that, there was an Arachnus meeting there about 2 weeks ago, I think last Wednesday. And, you know, from the reports that we've been receiving, I would have to say it's disappointing the way the FAI have tried to dilute some of the facts in this situation. But again, we've made further representation to the political representatives, and we'll have to wait and see what comes out of that, if anything.
Yeah. Just finally on this then, because you seem to be in no way confident of any sort of resolution coming on this that the FAI are going to play on, maybe you might just air what your main points and the concerns are once again, Jeremy, going forward, if this pathway and this plan of calendar year football is fully implemented in the Northwest, and in particular in Inishowen.
Well, the main points are pretty similar all over the country. It's the pressure on coaches, the pressure on volunteers, the pressure on facilities, and the pressure on referees as well. Like, I mean, we have a small panel of referees, as most leagues around the country have. And, you know, we play our junior adult football from August to May. And then we have our ladies and youth football that starts at the end of March and runs through to the end of August. Now, while there's a small overlap there, usually it comes at a time when our program is winding down. And, you know, they have a huge amount of games to play. And, you know, the entries in the Inishowen Ladies League and the Inishowen Youth League has never been at a higher amount. The amount of teams and the amount of underage boys and girls playing the game is absolutely huge. And that's the pressure that's going to put on everybody in that instance. And, like, I think you have to make the point that, you know, in our situation, the Inishowen Youth and Schoolboys League and the Inishowen Ladies League, while they play a current calendar season, they realise the damage that could happen if all football are forced upon them at the same time. And while they play the current calendar season, they are against the implementation of across-the-board calendar season for the reasons that I've just mentioned. There's another point too, just I would like to make a final point on it, is, you know, the FAI have withheld grant funding to the SFAI for the staging of the Gainer and the Kennedy Cup competitions. This means that all leagues, like the Inishowen Youth and Schoolboys League, like the Inishowen Ladies Leagues, they have to pay an extra €3,000 to fund entering their teams into the competitions this year. Since they've made that decision to the SFAA, the FAA now have invited leagues to apply for funding individually to go to these competitions, but it's dependent on the leagues agreeing to the calendar season implementation. A number of leagues already, actually, have refused the funding and said they're not going to apply for it because, you know, they want the right of choice as to when they play their football.
Yeah, that's something Nigel highlighted as well. It seems to be a bit of bribery, is it, from the FAI and their part? And again, coming with, and I used the word with Nigel, being bullish in this situation. Jeremy?
It's out and out blackmail, I've seen. And I think it's an absolute disgrace that they're putting the staging of these competitions in jeopardy and denying under 14 boys and girls, you know, for many, which is an opportunity of a lifetime to play in a tournament like that, because the tournaments are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, certainly is. When do you expect some word on this for the final letter, is supposed to be coming from them to say that this has to start, Dermot?
Well, you know, the initial indications were that it's a phased implementation. So for the adult leagues, it's supposed to come in 2028. So while there is a bit of time, you know, the leagues are not resting and are galvanising themselves, and there'll be further representation made. And another point again from, you know, you mentioned the grassroots association that have come together. You know, the primary object of the grassroots is to engage in conversation and try and get a resolution with the FAI on this issue. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'd be more hopeful than confident, but hopefully somewhere down the line, you know, things can come to an agreeable conclusion where leagues would retain the right of choice to when they play their season.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to move away from the calendar year issue and focus on, I suppose, the big game in Inishowen this weekend. The Charlie O'Donnell Memorial Cup final's been played on Saturday at McGinn Park. Quigley's Point Swifts, who recently won the first division title, they're the Ulster Shield winners. They're still involved in a number of competitions, and they're up against their old foes, Cockhill Youths, this coming weekend. And a situation like that makes this tie really, really intriguing. So it does, Dermot.
Yeah, especially since you know, both teams were involved in a league playoff in McGinn Park last Sunday, and Quigley's Point emerged victorious, so 1-2-0 on the day. So it offers Cockhill Youth an early opportunity to avenge that defeat when they meet in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup final this weekend. Quigley's Point having a fantastic season, as you say. They've won the Ulster Shield for the first time, I think. And since Mickey McColligan and Paul Hegarty come into the fold there last year, they've really put a good squad together, and you know, they're reaping the rewards now.
Yeah, they certainly are. Listen, it's been a good year, so it has. Inishowen-wise, football-wise in general. Listen, we had Cockhill Celtic last year that returned to the junior ranks and basically won everything that there was to win, but that was sort of flipped this year. Buncrana, the Premier Division champions, and then you looked at the great run that Clonmany Shamrocks have had over the last couple of weekends, where they took two big cup decider victories against Cockhill as well. So it's shown that the level of competition this year has been really, really high in Inishowen, Dermot.
Yeah, looking at the leagues, actually, you know, when you look at the four divisions that we have, three of the divisions went to the final game of the season, with one of them needing a playoff. So, you know, the points are a reasonably competitive league all over. As you say, Buncrana regained their league title after losing it to Cockhill last year. You know, Quigley's Point won the Division 1 in the playoff, and Quigley's Point Swifts Youth won the Division 2, and, you know, that went down to the last game of the season. The Division 2A, probably the most clear cut and comprehensive one, are Sea Rovers. So, you know, they'll be promoted now to Division 1 next year, and it'll be interesting to see how they get on. As you say, you know, the cup competitions end. We had Cockhill Colts retain their Inish Grass Shield title, and then Clonmany had a fantastic cup double over the last two weekends. And we have two finals to come now over the next two Saturdays. Quigley's Point Swifts in both to play Cockhill Youths. And in the final game of the season, the Hannon Green Insurance's Valerie Garrett Cup, we have Quigley's Point Swifts and Sea Rovers. So, you know, that concludes the playing side of the season.
Yeah, still lots to play for. And obviously, one of the highlights of the year is the presentation night, and that's not too far away either, Dermot.
No, we have a presentation night in the Ballyliffin Hotel on the Friday the 6th of June. And delighted to say that we have the Shelburne FC captain, Mark Coyle, and an Inishowen man as our special guest that night. So we look forward to that as well.
Brilliant. That'll be a good night. Listen, Dermot, as always, many thanks for talking to us this evening on The Score. And we will keep in touch and talk more, I'm sure, on how things are panning out with the calendar year issue. But we appreciate you taking time out on a Thursday to speak to us. Thanks, Dermot.
No bother, Ashley.
Elsewhere, football-wise, underage action this weekend. There's SFAI Interleague Finals taking place, and there's two sides representing the county. Down in Kilkenny, in under-13 boys final on Saturday, it's Donegal against Cork, and in the under-12 girls shield final on Sunday, Donegal are taking on Limerick Desmond. So the best of luck to both of those sides involved in those interleague finals down in Kilkenny this weekend. Moving now to Gaelic Games, and of course there is our dedicated GA programme and podcast, the DL Debate, which is available now to listen back to in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, presented by Brendan Devaney. Lots, of course, to talk about this week following Donegal's success in the Ulster final last weekend. So that is available on our website now. And there's also a piece on our website previewing the weekend's Gaelic Games action, where Mark Gallagher today caught up with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News. They're looking forward to some of the big fixtures this weekend, including the Donegal Miners and the Donegal Senior Hurlers, as well as a look at the situation in the Donegal All-County League. So that's also available on our website, highlandradio.com, in the sport section. So the Miners are involved on Saturday in an Ulster Football Championship semi-final. Cavan of the opposition, Cavan of home advantage at Kingspan Breffni Park, and it throws in on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. Donegal have won both of their games in the rounds to secure a semi-final spot, while Cavan had to come through the qualifiers. Likewise, Tyrone won both of their games to reach the semis, where their opposition Monaghan had to come through the qualifiers. They also play on Saturday at Healy Park in Omagh, and that one starts at 7 o'clock. The Donegal senior hurlers are playing their final game of the Christy Ring Cup this coming Saturday afternoon down in Trim, where they take on Meath. 1:30 is the start time there. Going into the game, Donegal know that they are assured of their place in Christy Ring next year, which was the objective, of course, from the start of the year. Elsewhere, Derry are playing host to Wicklow at Celtic Park, and Tyrone are on the road. They have, they're going to make the trip across the channel to Ruislip to take on London in the other game being played in the Christy Ring competition, as the group stage comes to an end there. And there is a full programme of all county league matches taking place this weekend. Suppose in the top flight in Division 1, they've Connaught to go on Kilcare, Sean McCool's play Mallon, Termon up against St Michael's, Buncrana v Downings, Glen Swilly host Glen Finn, and for Masters are coming to Letterkenny to play St Unions. Those games all penciled in for Sunday, and there is matches right across the weekend taking place in Division 2 and Division 3, as well as Division 4, starting this weekend as well. Now, moving away from Gaelic games and on to the cricket world, the Irish Senior Cup first round is on Saturday, and the big hitters in the northwest are all involved in action. New Buildings, Brady, Ardmore and Coleraine all have home ties. New Buildings play Leinster, Brady take on CYMS, Rush will come to Ardmore, and Muckamore will be the visitors to Coleraine. Well, there's away ties for Dunamana, Eglinton, Strabane and Brigade. Dunamana go to Warringstown, Eglinton are off to North County, Strabane go to Enstonians, and Brigade play Lisburn. It's also the opening round of the National Cup on Saturday as well, and there is four sides with home advantage, including St Johnstone, who play Downpatrick. The other three home sides are Ballyspallany, Glendermot and Bonds Glen, and they will host Drumanass, North Kildare and Civil Service respectively. While Fox Lodge go to Craiga, Burndennet are off to Galway, Killiecluny go to Laois, and Sion Mills are making the trip to Cork to play UCC in the other four games in the first round of cricket's National Cup. The North West sides all hoping for a good day at the wicket and progressing in their respective competitions. Just finally, one athletics note, the Strabane Lifford Half Marathon is taking place this Sunday. It will start at the Alley Theatre in Strabane and it will finish at the Melvin Sports Complex in Strabane. So once again, there'll be a big crowd attending this event. Competitor-wise, they're going to tackle 13.1 miles and do expect some traffic disruption in the Lifford-Strabane area on Saturday morning. If you are in that general area, the race will get underway at 9:30 on Sunday morning, actually, is the day of the race, Sunday, and it starts at 9:30. So if you are out in the car, just be wary that there is a big event, that Strabane-Lifford Half Marathon, taking place on Sunday morning. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website. It's highlandradio.com. That's it from the show. Chris Ashmore is our next sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, hope you enjoy the continued sunshine. Good evening.